I am sure I have mentioned before that I went to the one-room school at the corner of the 10th Side Road and the 5th Concession of West Gwillimbury. The one-room school meant just that. A large room with a cloakroom on either side. One for boys and one for girls. Here, they put their coats, etc., on hooks until it was time for recess or lunch break. At this school, SS No. 6, there was a toilet in each cloakroom. It was like having an outhouse inside. This was usually the layout of schools in our district. Because there were many children who walked to school, there were many schools in a small area. Yes, we all walked to school, uphill both ways, as we would joke years later. In the winter, our parents would remind us if we were walking on the snowbanks not to touch the hydro lines. My sister and I went to SS No. 4 until 1959. The last half of 1959, we followed my mother to SS No. 3 as they needed a teacher to finish the year. It was impossible to have Mom at SS No. 3, my sister at SS No. 6 and me at SS No. 4. The county of Simcoe was in a bind, so it consented to us all going to No. 3. The last teacher at SS No. 4 was Paul Kirkup. He was a young man who felt he could not handle such a big number of children, so he somehow got permission from the school board to send grades 7 and 8 about 3 kilometers north to SS No. 6 or, as it was commonly called, the Middleton School. It was a long walk for a lot of the Holland Marsh students, including the Rinnocks, Stampers, Tezukas and Scotches. By this time, Ethel Breeden had been teaching at SS No. 6 for 23 years. She took this influx of students all in stride and, I would think, with a little chuckle when the newbie young man could not handle 8 grades. Ethel arrived at SS No. 6 in 1936. Prior to this she had taught in Port Maitland, Haldimand County, Cedar Grove School, south of Alliston, and Penville School, 6th Line, Tecumseh, east of Highway 27. The old cement school building had a coal and wood-burning furnace in the basement. The furnace was based on gravity heat coming up through a large grate in the floor. The Campbell crew was responsible for getting the school heated in the winter. They lived just north of the school and had lots of children to do the job. Water was brought to the school each day from the Campbell home in a bucket with a dipper. There was no hydro, but there were good windows to the north and south. Now you have the idea of the one-room schoolhouses through the years. Ethel May Breeden was born on September 5, 1891, to Robert Breeden, April 23, 1864 to March 4, 1946, and Margaret, Elizabeth, Bridgman, March 3, 1865 to June 20, 1948. Ethel was the second of 5 children, Mary Jane Breeden, January 31, 1890 to March 8, 1982, who married Frank Williamson, Hannah Elizabeth, Lee, Breeden, July 13, 1893 to June 30, 1984, Henry Nettleton Breeden, July 14, 1896 April 1966, who married Ethel Stonehouse, and Clarence Nathaniel, Nat, Breeden, January 5, 1902 Feb. 15, 1977, who married Mary Janet Sutherland. After moving from Albion Township, Peel County, the family moved to Simcoe County and settled in Tecumseh Township in 1901. The family lived on the John Ausman Farm at Penville for 5 years as well as the Cross Farm near Beaton and attended the Penville and Cross Schools. In 1916, Robert and Elizabeth purchased the family farm at Lot 23, Concession 4, Tecumseh Township, where the family settled. Ethel and Lee remained on the family farm, and although they sold the farm to their nephew, Joe, and his wife, Marilyn, in 1976, their living area of the farmhouse remained their home for the remainder of their years. Ethel attended normal school in Hamilton. While in Hamilton, she stayed with a family, although her father, Robert, would drive her to and pick her up from Hamilton in their horse and carriage each week. As teachers were scarce, Ethel went out to teach before finishing school. Ethel was a well-respected teacher, and when she retired in the early 1960s, she had been teaching for 40 years, 34 of which were in Simcoe County. When the one-room schoolhouses closed, she taught in the newly built Sir William Osler Public School on Highway 88 before retiring and had mixed emotions moving from a one-room schoolhouse to a big school, but she loved it. Her teaching career was her life, and she did it well. Her students and their families were special to her, and she spoke fondly of her years teaching. Ralph Williams remembers each morning started with Bible reading, the Lord's Prayer, singing God Save the King, and exercises. The end of the day was finished with a short prayer. May the Lord watch between thee and me while we are absent one from the other. He remembers there was a piano for music classes with Paul McKelvey, and Christmas concert practices. During the winter, if she was unable to travel home due to weather conditions, Ethel was welcome to stay over with the Williams, Langford, and other neighboring families. Each year, the schools in the district would go to the Beaton Fall Fair, so there was marching practice up and down the road. I remember the excitement growing as the fair grew closer to a day away from school. There were games, exhibits, popcorn, candy apples, and marching. Each school district hoped it would come home with a ribbon for being the best. After retirement, Ethel and Lee enjoyed traveling, visiting family and friends, and would be seen at a lot of functions in the area. Many a former student would be happy to greet her. Ethel had chosen the career of teaching, while Lee made the decision to stay at home on the family farm, farming with Nat and family. On Ethel's 90th birthday, there was a reception for her at Dunkerin United Church. Many former students came to wish her well. One friend who came to see her was Bertha Langford. The next day, Bertha celebrated her 91st birthday. Reeve Allen Glassford and his wife, Doris, who was also a student of Ethel's, and many others. Ethel died on March 27, 1982, in her 91st year. Her service was held at Dunkerin United Church, and she is buried at the Bondhead United Church Cemetery with family. Both Brenda and her mother, Marilyn Breeden, have had great fun looking up pictures and dates that enabled me to write this column.